So it seems better off pensioners could be hit in the pocket if the Conservatives win the general election. The Tories launched their manifesto today with the party well ahead in the polls. Widely leaked contents include winter fuel payments being means tested instead of paid to all older people, no matter how rich they are. And the better off could also have to pay for social care at home out of the value of their properties. So is this a big moment in policy for older people? If you're better off and retired, would you be happy to pay a bit more? The commentators, Bishop Stephen Lowe and Ruth Dudley Edwards, with us this morning. Stephen, Bishop, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. Ruth, good morning to you. Morning, Ruth.
Good morning. I said good morning, Stephen.
I'm sorry, Ruth. I'm
not loudly enough, obviously.
Yeah, well, nothing's ever loud enough for me, is it? Right. If pensioners can afford to pay, why shouldn't they lose things like the winter fuel payment?
Are you talking to me first?
Ruth first.
I absolutely agree. I think they should. I am over pensionable age. I have to say, because I really am sick of people going on about the triple lock as if it was guaranteeing pensioners a lifetime of luxury, that basic pension is pathetic. It's much lower than almost anywhere else in Europe. Including the Republic. But apart from that, the perks, I think, are preposterous. I mean, I'm thrilled to travel around London free, but there's no justification for it. I don't deserve it. That should be means-tested. And so should really pretty well anything. The winter fuel allowance is preposterous. Preposterous waste of money, vast amounts of it. I know there's an argument that it costs more to administer if you're applying means tests, but if the tax system is used sensibly, that really shouldn't be a problem.
Stephen?
I think I probably broadly agree with that. I've always been worried about the massive expenditure on winter flu allowance and the sort of statements that we're going to protect this as if actually people playing on the golf course need very comparatively rich people need that money. What worries me much, much more, Stephen, is the other proposals within this package. And in many ways, the winter fuel allowance makes a modest contribution to the issues around social care, but I am really worried about some of those.
Yeah, but why should pensioners be in a special category, Stephen?
Well, I think the issue about social care is that the government is now proposing to take away all but £100,000 of your capital, including your house assets, to prevent that being passed on to another generation. In other words, they are saying, we, the government, are saying you have got to fund effectively your social care. And talking about we're going to raise this from 23,000 to 100,000 is a bit of nonsense, because actually that didn't include previously the cost of your property. What is actually happening now, when the average price of a house in this country is 257,000, I think it is that the government is saying, right, you as the homeowners of this country, and it's not the better off, it's ordinary people right the way across the country, because the Tories have talked about living in a property-owning democracy. It's not the very wealthy. It's everybody who lives in their own house has effectively got to fund their social care from their own property value. And I think the worry about that, Stephen, is that many of us who started our lives maybe soon after the National Health Service and National Insurance was introduced, believe that one way or another, the state, through National Insurance, which has long been forgotten as a way of doing it, was actually going to protect us and look after us from cradle to grave. The Tories are now saying, oh no, when it comes to a bit closer to your final decline, you're going to find yourself funding yourself completely in terms of social care at home as well as in residential.
Yeah, now this is for England at the moment, but of course there's an interesting discussion here in Northern Ireland. Should we follow suit? Will we follow suit? So this is about social care at home. And what the Tories are saying is that, look, no one will have to sell their property in their lifetime to fund residential or home care, but the cost of care will be taken from their estate when you die, basically, if you're being cared for at home. How do you feel about this? 0-30-30-80-55-55. And look, the more that you give older people, the bottom line is you've got to take that money. because the government obviously needs resource and money to pay for everything in our society. So the more freebies you give older people, the more the younger generation has to pay. And so do older people deserve it or not? And then you start getting into some of the things that older people get free, like bus passes. Should that continue? 03030 80 55 55. John in North Belfast. Morning, John.
Hello, Stephen. A couple of points here. I'm glad they went to fuel payments. They're going to be means tested for pensioners because rich pensioners should not get went to fuel payments. I do not agree regarding people getting into homes that have to sell their property at a later date. It should be free. But the interesting part of it all is, obviously, do not. That she didn't go far. I don't think she went far enough. She should have been into child benefit. Because I think it's an absolute disgrace that child benefit is being paid to children who do not live in this country.
But
that would save billions of pounds over the years.
John, thank you. Jerry and Lurgan. Morning, Jerry.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Well, I was telling her before that my father had a New Zealand job in Lurgan. And he kept open from 5 in the morning to 12 at night. And there's never a shop, there's never a quiz, very busy, you know. And he started off, his father was involved, he joined the army, and went to work.
Jerry, thank you. James in North Belfast. Morning, James.
Morning. How are you, Stephen?
All right. So the broader argument here, James, is look, do you treat older people in a special category because they've worked all their lives, they've pumped money into the system all their lives? Some people will argue that a reflection on a good, kind society is how you treat the older generation. Or actually, do you turn that in their head and say, do you know what? You're getting no special treatment. Pay like the rest of us. Which should it be?
Well, I think it should be a combination of both, Stephen. And what I mean by that is I've worked hard all my life. I own my own house. Why should they take that off me and not let me pass that wealth down onto my children? What I would do is I would sign that house over to my child and survive the 7 years now, where then they can't take that off you. So there are ways and means that people will start to avoid doing it because of the way they're being treated. So you have to find fair and equitable ways of saying to the elder generation, because we're not all millionaires, we don't all own and play golf every day, as your earlier caller said, in terms of that is. It's about being fair. I pay national insurance for 40 years, and now you're saying to me, by the way, you've got to pay for your care. What was my national insurance for? Now, there are ways and means of being equitable and fair without having to penalise the old people per se. We've already taken the pension off women from 60 to 66.
Yeah, but there is an argument that older people have been doing much better than middle-aged or younger people up to now. Bus passes, pensions guaranteed to rise by at least 2.5% a year, the triple lock guarantee mentioned earlier, winter fuel payments. No matter how rich they are, they're getting all of this.
Yeah, but 2.5% on a £140 a week pension is £3 a week. £3. Are we really saying we've got to the stage where £3 a week is going to make a difference to somebody?
Are we really saying to nurses in this country that their pay is capped by 1%?
I agree that's wrong as well, and that's why we've got to have a fundamental review of how we raise money for our key services, particularly our health service. And there are other ways of doing it in terms of, you know, I'm not saying prescription charges should be brought back in. Maybe there are other ways of doing that, but it seems to me, hit the pensioners with their heat allowance, hit their pensioners with their inheritance, hit the pensioners with their social care, hit the pensioners with their pension. You just get screwed everywhere.
Don't forget the big challenge. Right. The big challenge that's coming is people are living longer. So therefore, as they live longer, that's extra cost for healthcare, that's extra cost for social care. Who's footing that bill?
But if you give up a simple idea now, it might be a thing, and say to people now in someone aged 20 now, there will be no old age pension for you by the time you are 60. You need to provide a private scheme now. Would mean that you would have a diminishing return on the cost of that social care and pension cost going forward, And then with the new pension requirements of small firms, it means people have to provide for their future now. But you can't expect somebody who is 60 now to say, suddenly, you've got to pay for it all. They haven't got that. But if you say to somebody 40 years out, hang on a minute, it won't be there when you get there. You need to provide for it now. That's a very different thing.
Ruth?
We have to find ways of getting there.
Okay, Ruth?
I can imagine the outcry from the lobbyists for the younger generation if you suggested that. But I am broadly in agreement about one of the big thing with Jerry, that we need a proper review of all this. And in a sane world, we would have political parties at Westminster who would combine on that to see it as take it as a joint problem. And a commission could be set up with everyone's agreement to try to resolve a problem that at the moment has just turned into an auction at election time of various parties. The
Absolutely.
Key point is we can't afford it. We can't afford to give any lobby group what they want. We can't afford to send half the kids to universities and pay their fees. We can't afford it. And we can't afford to keep old people, if they will persist in going on living, for 20 or 30 years after retirement. They have got to contribute if they can. It's not pleasant, but it's no good politicians pretending that there will be money. I mean, I've forgotten which of your callers was complaining about money going out of the country and children's benefits. I mean, that is something which could be removed, I suppose, if we come out if Brexit happens successfully. But it's only a tiny aspect of it.
Although Bishop,
it's a monumental waste at the moment.
Bishop
waste
Steve, Bishop,
and unfair distribution.
Bishop Stephen Lowe, the conventional wisdom has often been, especially during an election period, don't touch the grey vote. Don't touch pensioners, because they come out and they vote.
I'm
don't annoy
sure
them.
They will find that the grey vote will exactly be applauding this particular proposal, principally because I think, and James picked up this point a moment ago, the grey vote now was based on a contract which said the state would provide for you because national insurance, which has now certainly been just subsumed into the national tax grab, would actually protect you and look after you from cradle to grave. And the state would do that. Now, there is a fundamental change now going on, and the government is saying, no, that wasn't the deal after all. You're going to fund this yourself by selling your house, effectively after you're dead, selling all but 100,000 of the value of your house. Now, that is a massive change for those aged 60 and over. I do agree with what was said earlier on, but we ought now as well to be beginning to think about how future generations fund social care, because I understand completely that the state can't forever, with a rising life expectancy, go on funding social care from taxation. We have to have some means of raising the money to
okay.
do that in the
Stuart,
future.
Stuart and Clocker. Morning, Stuart.
I'm worried about this move at the moment.
Call, I'm just going to stick up for the pensioner here slightly. My granny, she lived to about 87 years of age. She didn't believe in homage. She reared a family of seven children in a very, very small house away back in the early 50s. And she really had a hard life. She married twice. She buried two husbands. She buried two sons, which one of them was my father. And she lost her mother at 13 years of age. As I said, she didn't believe in any handouts or getting stuff for nothing. She worked hard. And the way I look at it is that why does the government always attack the most vulnerable in our society? You know what I mean? It's all right having a big
Well,
party.
You're describing old people with that blanket statement, the most vulnerable. Some older people are not the most vulnerable, of course. Some older people are rolling in wealth and luxury. Some aren't, but some are.
Well, I'll take that statement back there where the most vulnerable. There is some pensioners in society who are vulnerable. They've lived through a couple of world wars. They're probably, you know what I mean, they're not as wealthy as some of the pensioners. You know what I mean? I just don't think that you should target everyone.
But do you think you should target wealthy pensioners?
I think if you're, you know what I mean, it goes out saying, doesn't it? I think if you're, you know what I mean, the way I look at it is that if you're well enough to pay for it, you know what I mean, if you think you can afford it and you are wealthy, then maybe so. Maybe so, you know what I mean? But, you know what I mean, there's a lot of pensioners out there today be thinking, well, what's going to happen to my benefits? I mean, they're probably stressing at the minute, thinking, what's going to happen? I can't afford to live as I can. So, you know what I mean, there's going to be that fear factor out there, isn't there?
Stuart, thanks. Brian and Lumpeg. Morning, Brian.
Morning, Stephen. They're going to have to start to realise that the vile Tories aren't interested in anybody in society other than themselves and big business. We're constantly coming on and attacking pensioners, disabled, unemployed, the low working class. Why are we always attacking the poor people in society? The pensioners have contributed to our society for 40 years. And then when it comes to the end of their lives, they're being penalised again. Everybody coming on to your show now who are giving off and complaining about, yeah, get rid of the benefits to the pensioners, do they not realise that one day they're going to be pensioners as well?
So can I come in on that?
Of course you can, Ruth.
Yes, well, I mean, speaking, as I say, as somebody who is a pensioner, I suppose, I would be in favour of removing my own bus and tube pass in London and the winter fuel allowance as long as I'm earning.
Yes, as long as you're earning, but the majority of pensioners in Northern Ireland are not wealthy.
As if there was unlimited money and competing wildly against each other. That's why I really do think we have to, as a society, just say, OK, resources are limited, what are our priorities? And try to find some way of agreeing on the priorities. And there's no getting away from the fact
that
the life expectancy
of pensioners has
well, on, Stephen, one second, let's finish.
Demands on the NHS and on the benefit system. And we have to accept that. There is no way of having proper coverage from cradle to grave. If you're going to live into your 80s and 90s, it's not possible. There isn't the money. So we have to decide how we spend the limited amount we have.
Let's let the bishop reply, and then, of course, you can go back, Brian.
Yes, I'm saying that I think we have to recognise, though, that we're not talking here about saving massive amount of money by taking the so-called benefits away from the richest pensioners. These are not enormous sums. And I think the argument has been made as well that the administrative cost in some of those cases is almost more than the actual savings that are made by the removal of the benefits. But what worries me is that this isn't simply now about the wealthiest pensioners. There's a recognition in this Tory document, this Tory manifesto, that anybody who owns property over £100,000 is going to be paying big time for their care in their own homes, never mind in residential care, in their own homes from now on. Now, that was not the deal, Stephen, and it is a major move against ordinary pensioners who are living in their very modest homes across the country. Paul, and if it spreads to Ulster, it will, undoubtedly, I suspect it will, that will be the position for many pensioners, the majority of pensioners living in their own homes in Northern Ireland.
Okay, Paul,
and I think this is, in many ways, a betrayal of the contract which was made when the National Health Service and social care was set up as being part of the state system. And if we are going to have to replace it, yes, let's have a long, hard look about how we fund it, but let's not let the generation who has paid for all this, and on the basis that that was going to be the way it worked, be betrayed by these proposals.
Paul and Ardoin. Morning, Paul.
Stephen, let the company look after you. It would appear that if you don't work and you let the company look after you from cradle to grave, you're better catered to. If you go to the trouble of making your life reasonably comfortable without being sort of over-rich or anything like that, you're crucified for doing so. You're the one that suffers all the ignominies of having to pay all the different things. You don't get anything for nothing, really. At the end of the day, you've paid for those things that you are getting. But those who haven't worked and spent their life not working get everything handed to them on a plate.
But what about what young people face these days, Paul? It's increasingly difficult to get on the property ladder now. Jobs for life are a thing of the past. Final salaries, pension schemes. The young generation isn't going to get that anymore.
Of course that's going to be the case. And what will happen then? The government will have to look after you, won't it?
But will they?
Well, they're going to have to, because either that or you'll have a country sitting in absolute poverty.
William in Belfast. Morning, William.
I must be an exception here. I'm 74 years of age. I pay £6,000 a year tax. I've never been out of work in my life. I never claim for a bus pass. They give me £100 every autumn, which I don't want for heating. But the nonsense that's talked here, any grandparent Any parent who doesn't look after their young people isn't a grandparent or a parent. I hear this all, what about our young people? I will look after my young. And the other nonsense is talk about these people who worked all their life. I have. Most of the ones who don't have private pensions didn't. So let's get a bit of reality into the subject at times. So I'm a pensioner. I'm talked about as if I'm living the land. I'm 6,000 a year tax. I have my private pension. I never claim for a bus pass. I get £100 for heating, which I don't want. So let's get things into context. My family, if they need help, they've got me. I look after my grandchildren. Thank goodness they're workers too.
Okay, William, thank you. Bishop and Ruth, thank you very much indeed.